righteousness. In other words, we don't say, well, I'm going to put on my righteousness today and the devil won't get me. No, you put on your righteousness and the devil will say, I got an easy pickings today. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, and the reference is there, there is none righteous, no, not one. It's not your righteousness that's going to protect you from the devil. Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. You want to put filthy rags over your chest to guard yourself against the devil? Whatever he's shooting at you will penetrate it without any problem. We need the breastplate of righteousness. That is, it is the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. That phrase, the righteousness of God, is found 8 times. Paul used it 5 times in the book of Romans. But that's the breastplate of righteousness we're talking about. Not our self-assurance, not our decision to be good and be righteous. That's not going to stand. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own, the hymn writer said. So we need a breastplate that's not our own righteousness, but the breastplate of the righteousness of God. Let's talk about that. The righteousness of God must clothe us. Why should we protect our hearts? Why do we need this breastplate of righteousness? Well, letter A, because our hearts can be deceived. We need to protect our heart because our heart or it can be deceived. Do you know that? Is there anybody that doesn't recognize that? That you can be deceived? Eve was in the garden sinless. And the Bible says that the woman was deceived being in the transgression. You know why? She met the slickest salesman there ever was. The devil came to her and got her to want something that she wouldn't in and of herself have wanted. He pointed out that tree. Said, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He brought the whole thing up. She had no idea what was coming. And I'll simply say this. I'm not putting all the blame on Eve. I'm saying this, if in her sinless condition he could fool and deceive and trick her, you and I are not any problem. We can think, oh, well, you wouldn't get me the way you got Eve. No, he'd probably get you a lot quicker and a lot easier. Because our hearts are easily deceived. How many times have you trusted someone that it turned out you never should have trusted? And the whole reason you trusted them is because you were deceived. Oh, I just wanted to believe the best in them. Yeah, and you were deceived. So we need to protect our heart because if we can be deceived in physical things like that, how much more in spiritual things? How many today are following after untruth? Following after error? Following after, as Paul talks about it in the New Testament, false prophets that have deceived them with their fancy words. Our verse on the page says, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Remember this, your heart is deceitful. It will turn on you. How many times as Christians do we say, like Paul did, the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. You know what the problem is? The heart is deceitful. If we can bring our heart into subjection to God, we'll be in good shape. And the only way we can do that is by putting on the breastplate of righteousness. We should protect our heart because it can be deceived. Number two, we should protect our heart because it can be dirty. There's almost a progression here in the four things we're going to look at. Because the heart is deceived, it can be dirty. Mark 7, verse 21 to verse 23 says, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. I mentioned the young lady or lady that's been emailing, taking objection to our handing out stuff, and that her language is vulgar. You know what that means? It just simply means her heart is vulgar. Her heart is dirty. And can I tell you this? That's the way the majority of the world is tonight. And that's the tendency of your heart too. Your heart and mind will go that direction very easily if we don't protect it with the breastplate of righteousness. From within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye. I'm describing CBS. ABC, any of the, pick a channel. I'm describing what is going to be popular in the upcoming television season starting at the end of September. Anything that includes that list right there is going to be popular. And the more of those things that they include in the show, the higher the ratings are going to be. All right, that's just an evidence that our heart is basically dirty. And so we need to protect it. Pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Everything is dirty today. Innuendos. You can say, I remember I said something last night with a group of three guys, and I said something, and the way it came out, I know if I'd have said that at Famous Supply back in the day, I know where they'd have gone with that. But when I said it in the midst of two other Christian men, it just fell. It just went. Nobody said anything about it. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I shouldn't have worded that way. It wasn't vulgar or dirty, but it's something that could have easily been twisted and taken a different way. And that's the way the world is today. And we need to protect ourselves against that mentality, that attitude, and that way of thinking. And the only way we can protect ourselves is to put on that breastplate of righteousness. Letter C. We need to protect our heart because it can be deceived, it can be dirty. Letter C, because it can be, and this is a good word, it's a legitimate word, derailed. All right, D-E-R-A-I-L-E-D, derailed. Like a train going down the tracks and it gets off the track a little bit, that's the word derailed. Well, sometimes in our lives we're serving God and following God and going after God, and something happens that derails us. The verse I've used is from Solomon. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. Solomon, who is the wisest man that God made. He gave wisdom to Solomon that surpassed all other people. And yet in his older age, his wives turned his heart against God. I want you to realize something, whether it's you sitting in the pew or me standing here in the pulpit. Every one of us are capable of being deceived and being derailed. You understand, I see the statistics sometimes, and I don't read them or pay a whole lot, but I see how many preachers have fallen out of the ministry because of sin. You know what happened? They got derailed. They were doing the right thing. They were following God. They were in love with Him and in love with His Word and doing all they could. And something got their attention. With Solomon, it was his many wives. Sometimes with us today, it's the pleasures of this world, the pleasures of this life. It can be anything. But it can take us away from our goal. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. We've got to keep that goal in front of us. If we're not, we can easily be led astray. You can probably count as well as I can in your life as a Christian how many fellow believers, fellow Christians, once were serving God and in love with God, and vibrant and excited about it, that are no longer in church. That are no longer doing anything for God. Now, I know folks say, well, I don't have to be in church to do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. How do you tithe if you're not in church? How do you support missionaries if you're not in church? How do you go witnessing door to door and inviting people to church if you don't go to, I know all the arguments, and I know people that once were in church and serving God, maybe teaching Sunday schools, but vibrant in what they're doing, and now they sit home and they're not doing anything. You know what happened? They got derailed. Now I say this again to say, don't point a finger at them looking down our nose, because any one of us is capable of doing the same thing. I could say, hey, I'm 60 years old. I'll be 61 next month. I've been saved for 42 years. It isn't going to happen to me. If it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. If I was going to be derailed, it would have happened. I've been through enough things that could have derailed me. It isn't going to happen now. The minute we get that attitude, we're in trouble. We've got to keep on that breastplate of righteousness all the time. Because if we don't, we can be derailed. Letter D. This one's kind of tricky. We should protect our heart because it can be deadly. It can be deadly. Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." I mean, think about it. Keep thy heart with all, it means focus on it, diligence, hard work. Keep thy heart. We've got to work at keeping our heart right with God because it's not going to come natural. The things that the devil throws at us, the things that the world throws at us, the things that our flesh throws at us, all want to derail us and make us dirty because our heart is deceitful. We're fighting a tough battle. And if we're not mindful of God's righteousness in that breastplate, it can be deadly. You've heard it said, maybe you said it of someone, hopefully no one's ever said of you, boy, are they cold-hearted. You know what that means? Past feeling. Your heart is frozen. It's not tender. Doesn't have any emotion. You're cold-hearted. They say a cold-blooded killer. Sometimes they'll say somebody is hard-hearted. You know what that is? That's a sign of a deadly heart. When the heart dies, you're in trouble. I think of the story of Nabal the Carmelite when David was and his men were passing through that area and slept out there where the sheep were, guarded the sheep during the night, everything. You know the story. They went to Nabal the Carmelite and he was drinking himself drunk in the house and they said, David is sent and asking for some meat, some food. And Nabal, you know, basically curses him. And the Bible says that night that his heart turned to stone. I believe not a heart attack, but a stroke. But his heart turned to stone. When his heart died, you know what happened? He didn't survive. He died. They said about Absalom when Joab found him hung in the tree by his hair, that he took 3 darts and thrust him through the heart. He wasn't dead when he was hanging in the tree, and he wanted to make sure he's dead. How can you make sure he's dead? By killing his heart. We need to be diligent to keeping our heart, because out of it are the issues of life. Our heart is the center of that emotion, the center of that will. It drives us. What we love motivates us. What we don't love warns us. And we've got to be careful of what our heart can do to us. So why we should protect our heart? Because it can be deceived, it can be dirty, it can be derailed. It can be deadly. Number two. And here's the important part. How can we protect our hearts? Well, by putting on the breastplate of righteousness. But what does that mean? How do we put on? I wish it was this simple. I think it was yesterday morning. It was cool outside as I got ready to go out the door in the morning. I opened the door. It was cool outside. So I shut the door. I opened the closet right next to me and I got out a light windbreaker and I put it on. And I was ready to go outside. I wish the breastplate of righteousness was something hanging in my closet. That it was that simple, that I just reach and grab it and put it on when I need it. But that's not how it is. Because number one, the devil knows when I don't have it on. So I have to have it on. And number two, it's not something you grab out of the closet and put on. It's something that you're putting on continually, constantly, moment by moment. How do we protect our heart? Before we get to the A, B, and C, we protect our hearts by loving what we should love and by not loving what we should not love. 1 John 2 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Don't love them. I like my pickup truck. I don't love it. I like my house. I like going in the evening, shutting the door behind me and getting in my own little place and escaping the rest of the world. I don't love my house. We don't love the things of the world. We can enjoy them. They can bring us temporary pleasure, but we don't love them. But there are some things we do love. Letter A, we love God. To protect our heart, we love God. Can I encourage you to do something? Tell God you love Him. You have all heard the story about the husband and wife, and the wife says, I don't think you love me. Well, I told you once. Told you once at the altar when we got married. I got to tell you every day. I think sometimes we approach God the same way. God, you know that I love you. Remember what Peter said when Jesus said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, you know, you know. He doesn't want to know that we say, He wants to hear us say that we do. And Peter said to the Lord, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. That was the restoration of fellowship between Peter and the Lord. When he said, thou knowest that I love thee. He's saying, I love thee. We need to make sure the Lord knows that we love Him, because that's how we put on the armor of God. If we love God and put Him first, we've got the breastplate of righteousness on. But I'll warn you, when you put Him first, you're putting yourself second. And there's something in us that doesn't like that. Because we like to go where we want to go. We like to do what we want to do. We like to watch what we want to watch, go where we want to go. We like to be in control. And if we love God and have to consider, you know, I don't do a whole lot of things, I mean small things, I don't do a whole lot of things of minor importance that I don't check with my wife first. Or at least let her know, hey, I'm going here, or I'm going to do this, or I won't be home at that time, or I'll do this. You know why I do that? Because I love her. But a lot of times with God, we just spin our wheels and do our own thing. We never communicate with Him. We are to love God. Mark 12:30 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. All thy heart. Folks, that's a challenge. Because I dare say there's not a one of us here tonight that can say, I love the Lord with all my heart. We can say that and we want to. But then tomorrow a temptation comes up on whether we're going to put God before us. And though the majority of times, hopefully we put God first, there are times where we put us first. Well, this is what I want to do. We protect our heart by, number one, loving God. Letter B, number two, loving His Word. I know this is simple. It's rudimentary. But it's the truth. This is how we put the breastplate of righteousness on. By keeping God first, loving Him. Second of all, loving His Word. Jeremiah said, His Word was in my heart as a burning fire. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy Word have I hid in my heart. If we love God and love His Word, we're in pretty good shape. If we put God first and we're reading His Word daily to shape our life, because what we love is what we'll pursue. What we love is what we'll go after. And if we love God and love His Word, that's going to put us in a right direction and keep us from a wrong direction. And that's how we put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then lastly, letter C. How do we protect our heart? By loving God, by loving His Word, and love His people. I save the hardest for last. It's easy to love God. He never lets us down. It's easy to love His Word. It never fails us. But we need to love His people. Can I tell you who His people is? If you don't know already, it's you. It's one another. It's those on this side that would get mad if I made you go on that side. Those on that side, loving His people. You know why churches have problems? Because people don't love one another. I have a brother and two sisters. Sometimes they're idiots. Sometimes they do the stupidest things. Sometimes they say things that offend me. And they don't even realize it. You say, what do you do about it? I blow it off. I let it go in one ear and out the other ear. You know why? They're my brother and my sisters. I love them. They're not perfect because they're my brother and sisters and they're just like me. The same thing is true in the family of God. I guarantee you, if you've paid attention and been here any amount of time, I've said something unintentionally that's offended you. You've probably said something, hopefully unintentionally, that has offended me. The better we get to know each other and the closer we get and the more we talk, the more chances there are for saying something. And I don't know about you, but I find myself saying stupid things pretty often. Things that after it's over, I'd say, I wish I would. And, you know, I'm not talking about bad stuff, but just stuff like, why did I say that? I didn't have to say that. I didn't need to say that. But when we love one another, love covers a multitude of sins. When we love one another, we're putting on that breastplate. Because here's what happens. When we get filled with anger and hatred and bitterness, that means that breastplate is off. And the devil's working right there on that heart. But when we keep it on and we love God and love His Word and love the people of God, Peter said, I forget the verse in 1 Peter, love the brotherhood. The Bible says over and over again, the love of the brethren. If any man love not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he say he loves God who he's not seen? All right, our verse on the page, 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, not false, not put on, unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. How do you put on the breastplate of righteousness? How do you protect your heart? By loving what you should love and not loving what you should not love. And that's a daily exercise. Putting it on every day. Not waiting until we think we need it to grab it out of the closet and put it on. But to be maintaining. The Bible says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.